He's seen it from all sides. As a cop. As a clergyman. As a candidate. Even a professional wrestler. Now he brings you both sides of the issues facing Naples and all of Southwest Florida. This is the Joe Whitehead Show. Call Joe now at 430-2428.
And welcome to the Joe Whitehead Show. Calling this episode Transitions, or as the political pendulum swings, Transitions. I'm your guest host, John DePrisco. Joe is traveling, so this week and next week, we'll be doing our best here. And I think next week, Joe is going to try to call in, so fear not, brave patriots. We will hear from him shortly. We are live and armed. That's right, armed with truth, intelligence, and logic. And Florida State Statute 790. We do take your calls live. It's 239-430-2428. That's 430-CHAT. 239-430-2428. Our in-studio guest is Dr. Joseph Doyle. He's on the advisory board for the Florida Citizens Alliance. And as I mentioned, today's episode is called Transitions. Or as I like to say, you know, as the world turns or as the political pendulum swings. So we're going to talk a little bit about how this pendulum is going back and forth from left to right. So please call in, talk to us about the subject, 430-2428. You can listen live if you're outside of the broadcast zone. So if you have friends and family that you want them to participate, they can reach us through WGUF989.com and they can live stream. And with that, I'd like to say good morning, Joe.
Good morning, John. Good to be with you again.
Well, it's good to have you back. And so let's get right into it. The political pendulum continues to swing back and forth from left to right. We saw what I call the high water mark of it swinging to the left with, you know, the Biden campaign winning, as well as they already had the House and they took the Senate with the special Georgia elections. So, you know, I'm calling that the high water mark because they essentially, the Democrats essentially, or the left, if you want to call it the same thing, eventually had the White House, the Senate, and the House. But with recent elections, and not just the Virginia governorship, but across many states, we see them going to Republican candidates. And we can clearly see that the pendulum is in transition and making its swing rightward. So now, you know, the question is how quickly, how fast can it get there? Now, the speed of a pendulum increases as it heads downward. And then it slows to zero as it heads to the top of its arc, only to repeat the process down the backside. So we're seeing, you know, where's the speed occurring? Did we, you know, when we hit the high water mark, you kind of had a pause, and now it's starting to accelerate back down towards center and then to the right. So in the current political climate, it does appear that the pendulum is accelerating down back to the right. Now, if you map a pendulum's arc over time, you get a pretty normal sine wave. So in politics, the move from left to right and back again also appears to map a sine wave. Now, what might cause this? Well, I believe that as you hit the high water mark either side, you're hitting an extreme. And so these extremes are enough to wake people up and say, nah, you know, that's too far. Let's you know, dial it back a little bit. And so then the pendulum swings the other way. And then you hit the extreme on the other side. So, you know, so I'm talking about right now, this pendulum is in transition. So a transition is a period of time where a state or condition is changing from one to another. So the phase itself is not permanent. It's transitory. That's where we get the word transition. And transitory means it's, you know, not permanent. It's temporary. But a lot is being said these days about the current rapid rise in inflation being transitory. However, this misses the point. The inflation is the condition or state being observed. The rate of change may be the transition, but the inflation itself is the object. And the opposite of that would be deflation. Oh, if it went in the other direction. So if you, for example, observe that the price of a gallon of gas goes from $2 to $6, but then stops rising, you don't say, phew, I'm glad that's over. I mean, you're still paying $6 a gallon. It's not just the inflation from 2 to 6. It's the fact that you're sitting at a higher price point and, you know, it doesn't go down as quickly as it went up or if at all. Now, sometimes in politics, you know, we try to hasten transition or try to hold it back, especially in political terms. So if the country is moving in your direction, you'll want to try to accelerate that transition. Conversely, if it is moving against your desired aims, you'll do what you can to deter, slow, reverse, or otherwise deny its movement. Now, recent examples of the transition or pendulum swing that we have in the country, the first one is the Supreme Court. You know, we've seen some recent decisions that have shown that, you know, that I thought they were center or even left of center, but then, you know, President Trump got 3 on the court. And, you know, we saw some false starts where they, you know, they would have ruled what we would call like leftward or in a Democratic direction. But then, you know, we had the Texas Heartbeat Act. They allowed it to continue. They didn't stay it. They've reversed or stayed a lot of Biden's executive orders or administrative decisions. And then, of course, you know, we saw the sweep in Virginia, not only the governor, but the lieutenant governor and the attorney general. And, you know, the lieutenant governor is a veteran. She's black. She's an immigrant. And the attorney general is Hispanic. And so they were the first in their respective offices to hold those. But still, it was a sweep. And then even in New Jersey, I mean, the Democrat did finally win. But, I mean, it was a squeaker. You would never have a squeaker in New Jersey. I mean, it's so blue. It's such a blue state. And yet they, you know, they almost had the businessman win the New Jersey governorship. And then the real interesting one that I liked was the state Senate president of New Jersey lost. And he lost to a truck driver who spent like less than $200 or something. I think his last name was Durr, D-U-R-R. And so he won the Senate seat. Now, he's not the president of the Senate, but, you know, a dyed-in-the-wool, deep blue Democrat state senator was the president of the Senate, loses. And it was specifically and only because of the issues. You know, the pendulum is moving back and it caught him off guard and Durr won. But even throughout the country, we saw, you know, local elections, special elections, and even school councils just swing, you know, and they were calling it a red wave. And we even have a little of that going on here.
Yeah, John, your concept here with transitions, I'm concerned that or impressed by the fact that the transition is happening so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's Biden's only 10 months in office.
Exactly.
And we have had this buyer's remorse on the part of moderate Democrats.
Yep.
And, of course, the Republicans are still fired up, and a lot of them are unhappy, and rightfully so, with the results of November 2020.
Right.
And we're still investigating as to what was stolen, et cetera, et cetera. But compare that to Obama's first term, and he lost the House in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
He was elected in 2008.
Right.
Lost the House in 2010, lost the Senate in 2012.
Yep.
And then they lost the White House in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
This might all happen in 22 with the House and the Senate.
Yep.
Because they're really very slim majorities, yet the Democrat socialist communists are ruling as if they have a mandate.
Yeah, right.
And they just passed that big spending package the other day with unfortunately 13 rhinos to help them.
Yeah.
And then we have 24 coming, another presidential election.
Yep.
So this pendulum is swinging a lot faster than 10 years ago.
Yes. Yeah. The speed is alarming.
The question is, with some of the local races, can that momentum keep going for another year?
Yeah.
Back in 2010, the Tea Party was a big force to reckon with.
Yes.
I'm not sure about what's going on with the parents and some of the Moms for Liberty and Moms for America and some of the mothers groups.
Yes.
I'm hoping that they have the structure and the momentum to keep going. A lot of it's based on critical race theory in the books.
Yep.
There's still Common Core, at least in the other states. Florida still has quite a bit of Common Core. That's in transition too,
yeah.
to get rid of Common Core. Parents are not happy with how the kids were treated with the mask mandates. Mm-hmm. Still several school districts have them. Now we may have vaccine mandates for the children. So that might keep the momentum going across the country.
Yeah. And we're seeing even in our own areas, we have school council.
Yeah. In fact, last year during the pandemic, we only had two school board districts seats open, and they ran unopposed.
Right.
This year, three districts are up, three seats.
Uh-huh.
We have four candidates declared in District 1.
Wow.
We have three in District 3, and we have five in District 5.
Wow.
So it's going to be quite an interesting race. All of the incumbents have declared, so okay. They're in all the races.
Uh-huh.
The race that I'm watching is race District 5, because a former school board member, Kelly Lichter, has thrown her hat in the race to run against the incumbent.
Okay.
So that should be interesting.
Yeah.
Now, the school board races here are actually held during the August primary.
Right, yeah.
So they're coming up pretty fast.
Yeah.
Just 9 months away.
Yeah, it's not even a full year. So that's cool. You know, and I was surprised at the number of people. Now, you said the incumbents are all running and one former is running. How about the others in all the other districts? Are they first-timers? Or have they run again? Do you recognize their names?
In District 1, she ran in the past.
Okay.
Two new names there. Two new names in District 3. And three new names in District 5.
You know, it'd be really interesting to see if the reason why they're running for the first time, you know, maybe it's this pendulum. Maybe it's the transition. Maybe it's the, you know, the autocratic, authoritarian actions of, you know, the national level, the education and, you know, that National School Board Association just drivel about, you know, domestic terrorists and all that. No, you know, they're probably, you know, fed up and they're running and good for them.
Yeah. Some of them have not really populated their candidate pages yet. Mm. But as time goes on and as we start to have some forums and debates,
yeah.
We'll know more about what their reasons are and where they stand on the issues.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. Now, that was in Collier. Now, moving on in talking about transitions and pendulum swinging, if you look nationally and even locally, you had these massive protests last summer, and it was BLM and Antifa, and, you know, they were burning and rioting, and it was very leftist. And now you've got the suburban soccer moms in these school council meetings, and they're fed up, and now they're the protesters. So talk about an amazing swing just in the protest space, and, you know, we're seeing it nationwide, but even locally here. I mean, we had an incident with, I think, with Artist Naples.
Well, there was a rally last night at our, held by a Christian coalition group, and it's about pushing back on vaccine passports and mandates.
Right.
And Artist Naples, which is our local cultural facility, updated their policy on COVID-19 protocols November 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't really follow the science.
Mm.
And it kind of goes along with what's going on at the federal level.
Mm-hmm.
And for instance, doesn't give anyone credit for having natural immunity.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, you have to show a vaccine passport or a recent test
right.
in order to get into a performance, and you have to wear the masks and all this. Mm-hmm. And right now, the COVID community transmission rate is so low that the hospitals, as of today, are not reporting anymore.
Oh, my gosh.
There were only 20 people hospitalized in Lee Memorial Hospital yesterday.
Wow.
With COVID. down from a high in July of 720.
Yeah,
okay.
Gosh.
So really, local community transmission is practically nil.
Right.
You really should worry about catching the flu and other things.
Yeah, exactly.
At this point.
Yeah.
So you just kind of wonder how some of these organizations, and they're not the only one, but they just happen to have a rally against them because conservatives mm-hmm. are now pushing back
yeah.
on some of these policies and mandates.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, the tyranny went too far, and so we see the pendulum swinging back. And, you know, the funniest one that I chuckle at is you've got these bastions of leftist centers, which we call colleges and universities. And even them in the stadiums, they're doing a, shall we say, let's go Brandon chant. They actually do the words, you know, F Joe Biden. But, you know, you're seeing that in college stadiums at football games and, you know, I have to chuckle. I think it's kind of funny, but it is representative of this pendulum swing back, you know, to the right, and even worldwide. I mean, we have massive demonstrations in Italy and in London and France against passports, you know, vaccine passports mandates, vaccine and mask mandates, and even back in this country, which really concerns me, is what we're calling like the Great Resignation, where people are quitting. They're just like, no, you know, I have my reasons why I don't want to be forced into this. And if you're going to make me do it or not have a job, then I'm just going to quit. And in this economy, which we're already facing a horrendous shortage, especially in trucking and warehousing and service sectors, to have more people just up and quit, you know, is obviously very detrimental to the economy. And, you know, we're going to see we're already in a supply chain crisis. It's going to get worse because now you're moving down that chain to where there's no people. You know, the truckers are not available to truck the stuff. The warehouse workers aren't available. You know, I know recently Amazon had bought or had built new last mile depots in the area, and they're having trouble hiring people. And of course, we have the Christmas season coming up, so it's even worse. And, you know, one symptom of this, I think, that's proof that we're having this rapid transition is that Biden got really scared and he lurched horribly to the left because he knows that he's a one-termer, not just because of age. But even Harris, if you wanted to call it a two-term Biden-Harris, Harris has no hope. There's no, you know, she's not going to win in 2024 if she runs. And
well, she's not going to win fairly.
Right? Yeah. I think it's going to be a pretty much a red wave. And so, you know, with his ratings just absolutely in the gutter, you know, I think it was like 38% approval. You know, he's pushing these, you know, his, you know, Build Back Better and infrastructure and anything else to bankrupt us. He's pushing them hard to kind of create this legacy and kind of win over the left a little bit and the progressives. And, you know, cause he was a moderate for many years and he tried to run moderate. And, although we always knew, you know, what he really was. And so as a result of that, you know, he realizes, you know, the writing's on the wall. He's a dead duck or a lame duck. And, you know, he's trying to do what he can now while he has a very, very slim majority. You know, you have the White House, the House, and the Senate, and he's trying to push stuff through. And, you know, and I think not only the Supreme Court decisions that have gone against him, but, you know, the red wave, especially Virginia, you know, because he campaigned for McAuliffe, as did Harris, as did Obama. And, you know, to lose that race, I think, you know, they pretty much saw the writing on the wall. And, you know, now they're doing everything they can. They're in panic mode. And,
yeah, he doesn't have any coattails. In fact, he's yeah. more like a brimstone.
Yeah, yeah.
In the sea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want that. So, anyways, that was my initial thoughts on, you know, the political pendulum. I think it is moving rapidly back down from the left to the center. I think it'll go to the right, You know, I do think Trump will run. I think it's a given. I mean, that's my own personal opinion. And
well, as long as we have an America First candidate. Yeah. And the other thing that's, while this is painful right now, with all, especially with these mandates and inflation and everything, I remember the Carter years. I was a teenager. And that stayed with me my whole life. So I hope that the young people are paying attention to what's going on, and that'll stay with them their whole life, that they don't ever want another president like this. Yeah. But the inflation, just to talk about that, you know, what the government giveth, the government taketh away. The government a month ago announced that they were giving the seniors a 5.9% cost of living adjustment on their Social Security. Well, yesterday, hot off the press, they announced the new Medicare premiums. And they are going up. The premiums are going up 14.5%. And the deductible is going up 14.7%.
Oh, my gosh.
So the premiums are going from $148.50 a month to $170.10.
Oh.
And the annual deductible is going from $203 this year to $233 in January. So, you know, the seniors, for instance, were basically going to get a $20 cost of living adjustment. Well, that's going to go into their Medicare premium.
Yeah.
Now, this just came off the press yesterday.
Yeah.
There is a provision in the law that holds the seniors harmless so that they may not have to put all of that increase into their Medicare premium. But I mean, how are they supposed to afford food and gas when all of this, when their premiums are going up?
Yeah, I mean, so it's already eaten up just by the premiums, but a 4.9% increase in Social Security versus 6.2% inflation. I mean, do the math. It's not that hard. It's a negative.
But we know inflation's really double that.
Well, yeah. I mean, officially it's 6.2, but yeah, and especially in gasoline, and you know, and that's, you know, when you're on a fixed income or you're on Social Security, you know, it's extremely hard to absorb those because they already represent a large percentage of your income. You know, a multimillionaire doesn't care if he's paying $2 a gallon of gas or $6. You know, percentage wise, it's almost zero of his income. But you got somebody who, you know, has retired and, you know, maybe they have a small nest egg or they own their condo or whatever, but, you know, they're pretty much beholden to Social Security and what the economy's doing. You know, that's a huge chunk.
Yeah, and, you know, and local property taxes will go up next year. You can count on it.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're going to have to give raises or cost of living adjustments to the employees.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So we do take your calls live. We're at 430-2428. That's 430-CHAT. 239-430-2428. If you want to get in on this, we'd love to hear from you. We take your calls live, and we put you on the radio. So, Joe, you know, we have national, we have state, we have local. We talked a little bit about national and local. I want to talk just a little bit about the state. You know, we've got Governor DeSantis. He did state, I think officially, that he's running again for governor.
Yes, he did last week.
Yeah. But, you know, to be honest, I would like to see him be vice president. So who knows? That might still be in the air. You know, I would love to see a Trump DeSantis. I think that would be a very winning ticket.
Well, I'm just want him to be reelected at this point. I'm putting all my energy into 22 to get him, because he didn't win by much 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, in eight. So he only won by 30,000 votes. Yeah. And while we have more registered Republicans coming into this, moving into the state, it's still going to be very tight.
Yeah.
I mean, he's doing a great job, as we know. He's really pushing back on Biden, and he's having a special session this week to talk about vaccine mandates and protecting our workers.
Yeah, and we could talk about that on next week's show.
Right.
And but, yeah, it is kind of funny. He just fillets Biden in his tweets and in his speeches. And, you know, he's going after him. He's like you said, special session. He's suing.
My favorite this week was we've found out that there have been these secret flights from Texas to Jacksonville.
Yep.
And they're bringing in
illegal migrants,
a lot of them children.
Yeah.
So while the federal government controls the airspace, so DeSantis said that he's thinking about sending them up to Delaware on buses.
Yeah. Where, of course, Biden was the senator there for many years. And unfortunately, I lived in Delaware for many years. And, you know, we had just such opposites. We had Roth, Senator Roth, and Senator Biden. And what a distinct difference. You know, Roth gave us the Roth IRAs. And, you know, Biden gives us inflation. So, you know, but yeah, I love how DeSantis just, you know, he's so quick with that. And sometimes it's off the cuff. Sometimes, you know, he's obviously thought it out beforehand. But, you know, it's just he makes it look easy in how he goes after. And Biden makes it easy. I mean, you know.
Yeah. I mean, DeSantis really has done so much for Florida. And I mean, look what he did with setting up the 28 monoclonal antibody clinics to, and we have our COVID is now the lowest in the nation.
Yeah, I think we're like 50th.
Yeah, we're right down there, and in fact, he's closed some of the clinics. We only have 20 open now. You know, we don't really need the others at this point.
It's interesting how, you know, back in August, of course, excuse me, when we had our flu season, basically, or COVID season, you know, all of the mainstream media was all over Florida about how horrible our numbers were, and it's all DeSantis's fault, and they were calling him Death Santis, and you know, all this other stuff. Well, then suddenly they're very quiet when that season naturally moves to the northern states, and these very restrictive states are just getting, you know, flayed with their numbers.
Well, they're all indoors. We were all indoors in August. Yeah. Now we're enjoying. We have a beautiful week this week.
A beautiful week
this week coming up as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and so now they're suffering the natural effects of being indoors and spreading the flu or COVID or other viruses. And but I did want to get back to one point you mentioned was the Carter years. And I think the last time we were in here, about a month ago, we mentioned that what I called the parallels of Carter and Biden. So, you know, Carter had inflation, Biden has inflation. You know, Carter had a problem with Iran, and you know, Biden had a problem with Afghanistan. So foreign policy was another one. You had domestic problems with unions and people striking, and of course now we, you know, Biden has the Great Resignation. You know, Carter, we had long lines for gas and rationing, and so now, you know, and he was the one that. His administration, Carter, was the one to first say, hey, let's all drive 55. That was the big thing, you know, and if your state had speed limits higher than 55, then you didn't get federal money. So, of course, all the states dropped their highest speeds to 55. And then he was also the one that said, oh, you should drop your winter temperature thermostat to 68. You know, all of this came out with him. Well, now we're being told by the Biden administration that this is the new normal. You know, get used to not having as much or not buying as much. You know, and it's an eerie parallel, but it's very true. And like we said, there's a sine wave, there's a pendulum, and it's a parallel.
Well, and we have Biden closing off pipelines, wants to close off another one, and asking OPEC to soften the prices.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah. You know, all we need is a new president to tell OPEC to go take a hike and open up the spigots on the pipelines.
Yeah. And, you know, we're seeing worldwide just a huge spike in natural gas prices. Just it's tremendously high. And, you know, we're now a net exporter. We could be a net exporter of natural gas, you know, especially liquid natural gas, if we just allowed it. And, you know, we could get that price down and provide to the world. You know, we can ship liquid natural gas. So,
well, elections have consequences.
Yes, they do.
And consequently, we have government agencies now being run by left wingers.
Yeah. So at this point, we have Doug Rankin on line 4. Doug, welcome.
Good morning, guys. I'm live and armed with you here in Naples. And I agree with the pendulum to an extent.
Okay.
The problem is, us Republicans don't try and make the pendulum permanent as much as the Democrats do.
That's very true.
What did Ronald Reagan say the closest thing to eternal life on this planet was?
Taxes.
No, a government program.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
And basically what they're trying to do is they're trying to bake into the bureaucracy, the regulations, the new government programs that it'll make a very, very difficult for us to get rid of.
That's very true.
Once the pendulum swings back.
Yep.
And if they keep it up, we're going to have some real problems. They are also doing other permanent things, like what they did in Afghanistan has broad ramifications.
Oh, yeah.
Aside from the first time in my life that we left American citizens and American allies behind that we had previously promised to take with us.
Yeah.
We showed the entire world we can't be relied on anymore, which is the reason right now as we speak, Russian troops are massing on the Ukrainian border.
Yep.
One of the communist countries opposite Poland is massing refugees on that border and saying, if you don't let them in, it'll be war and we're going to shut off your gas.
Mm-hmm.
The very gas that we were going to supply until Biden shut it off.
Yep.
And now the gas that the Russians and those communists in that country are supplying.
Yeah, and he approved their pipeline.
Yeah.
But not ours.
It's like the Chinese are building coal plants so fast they don't know what to do with themselves. And mm-hmm. It's supposed to be a different atmosphere. I don't think so.
No.
But even if you believe that we're causing global warming, and the next few years you're going to be in for a little bit of a shock on that, because the real thing that warms and cools this planet is that fusion-fission reactor in the sky. And
yep.
It has 11-year cycles, but it also has millennium-long cycles.
That's right.
And a lot of very high-level scientists I know of who are keeping their mouths shut because they don't get canceled in today's culture are of the opinion that we're about ready to enter a very cold period many years.
Yeah, well, I remember in the 70s we were being told, you know, the next ice age is coming and be prepared that the, all the permanent ice is coming down the Atlantic and Pacific sides and...
Yeah, it's going to. But how many humans do you think were on this planet in the year 900 AD?
It was a very small number.
Right. How much of an effect do you think they had on the warming of this planet?
Zero.
That's right. And you know why Christopher Columbus didn't meet any Vikings or too many of them when he came over here?
Because
there was global warming and cooling
yep.
in the first millennium.
Yeah.
Before the first millennium.
Yep.
Those little ships that the Vikings had with those little sails and those oars could only go so far without being resupplied.
Mm-hmm.
And they went from Norway to Iceland, which Iceland had founded, and because of its geothermal, it's immune from what happens in the world.
Right.
In terms of cooling and heating. And that was well established. And then they went to... Greenland and formed farming communities there
yeah.
that could resupply the ships. And then they went from there to Newfoundland and Nova Scotia.
Yep.
And then some people tell you they spread all the way to the Mississippi River at that latitude.
Wow.
But then they were faced with a choice. And by the way, speaking of global warming, can you farm in southern Greenland right now?
No, I don't think so.
Well, so much for this being global warming. And in fact, most studies that these scientists rely on and tell us what happened with the climate of this Earth are based on Greenland ice core studies.
Right, yeah.
And if you go to the web, you'll find a Greenland ice core studies with human history superimposed upon it.
Mm-hmm.
And back before now, most civilizations were localized. And if the climate swung too badly, they fell.
Right,
and
yeah.
You can see where warming and cooling over the millennia caused the rise and fall of civilizations. But anyway, and so they were forced with a choice when it started cooling down again. Either go back home and take over England and France or stay here and be stranded.
Right. Yeah.
And the vast majority of them obviously chose the first choice. But getting back into things a little more modern.
Yep.
The deep state is gone wild now.
Mm-hmm.
There is something happening as we speak that in the legal profession is just astounding. And the FBI, as you know, in the last few days raided not only the houses but the cell phones and computers of most of the Veritas employees.
Yeah, the Project Veritas.
Including the head of it, who happens to be a
James
friend of
O'Keefe.
Mine.
James O'Keefe, yeah.
Yeah, he's a friend of mine.
Oh,
I've
cool.
known him for years. And he's looking to be the next Mike Wallace, except on the right side. If you see him walking up your driveway, you better start running. You're in deep trouble. That comes straight from his mouth.
Oh.
They are the first organization in 50 years to bust through the public figure thing and successfully move forward a suit against the New York Times.
Right, yeah.
And they have a policy, you know, if you malign them, they will sue you, and they win, and they don't settle.
Yeah.
And now, guess what's happened? First of all, this diary thing, it wasn't stolen. It was left somewhere.
Right,
you know, like Hunter left his laptop that doesn't exist, you know. Ha, ha, ha. And
what's her name, Rachel Biden?
Yeah, and second of all, they didn't take it. Somebody had it on the auction block.
Right.
And so this is all nonsense. Why is the FBI involved in this in the first place? Last time I heard, getting copies of a diary that was left behind that you end up turning over to the police, which is what Veritas did.
Right.
Because they couldn't verify it. Now they can verify it.
Yeah.
Because now the FBI
did it for them.
Made it clear it really is her diary.
Yeah.
But this gets worse. They have taken his phone and everybody else's phone, and what they are doing is they are outing all the sources, and then they're leaking them to the New York Times.
Yep. Yeah, it's
now,
obvious.
Excuse me, that would be bad enough. There's supposed to be a policy in the FBI against leaking things, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back in the old days, and we're talking 20 years ago, unfortunately, or 30 years ago, I had a lot of friends in the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them now are ashamed of the current agency.
Yeah.
And they should be.
Yeah.
Because not only do they leak in this stuff, they're leaking this stuff to give the New York Times an advantage in a civil suit against that Veritas has filed against them.
Right, yeah.
You know, since when, except in Soviet Union and China, does the government rage somebody's enemies and then turn it over to them to help them fight the enemies?
Yeah.
You know, that is just horrendous.
Yeah.
And it is illegal. But what's Veritas going to do about it? You can't sue the FBI. The only thing that can happen is that the New York Times gets tied deep enough into this, the judge can whack them a new one in terms of their suit.
Yep.
And say, hey, guys, you know, you know, even if the FBI leaked this stuff to you, you shouldn't have taken it. Because you're involved in a suit with these people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you're getting all this inside information. In fact, finally, O'Keefe got a court order the other day to keep them from getting into his cell phone any further when these things started leaking. And you can tell why the judge entered that order. You know, never mind the other ramifications, but somebody in the FBI is leaking it.
Yeah.
So what you gonna do? But, you know, and I got some good things for you here. Representative Solwell is facing a year in prison after Mo Brooks' wife assaulted, home broken into by hacked Democrats.
Oh, geez.
So Democrat representatives are now breaking into the wife of their opponent's homes and getting caught at it.
Yeah.
Oh, well. And then here we've got a lawsuit uncovers 26,000 dead people registered to vote, many of whom did vote in Michigan.
Oh, geez.
And then let's see what else we got here. Oh, good old Dr. Mengele.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, I don't know if you saw something on my Facebook page this past week, but basically Senile Joe, just came out the other day and said 750,000 people in this country died of COVID. And God bless them. I'm sorry they died. But the first lockdown alone, separate from COVID, killed almost 700,000 people. Because of suicides, drugs, alcohol, broken relationships and delayed heart and cancer treatments, because they weren't just delaying elective surgery. They were delaying everything. So what this means is when we finally tally up all these lockdowns and all their costs, we will probably kill twice as many people as COVID.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
And that is just absolutely insane. Why do you think DeSantis and Texas governor and all that are so much heroes?
Yeah.
And, you know, our COVID death rate, even per capita, is down in the basement.
Yep.
And you've got other countries or places where they've got severe lockdowns, like Colorado, where it's spiking like mad.
Yeah.
And they've got higher vaccination rates there, too. You know, it's just a... But back to our friend, Dr. Mengele Fauci. And by the way, I don't use that term lightly.
Yeah. No, you're right.
When you add up all the people he's probably killed because of bad advice in this thing, and a couple hundred thousand he killed back in the AIDS epidemic, so him and his buddies could get some patents, and all these poor animals he tortured to death.
Yep.
I think the overall, and also you add to the fact that he supplied the technology and the money for them to weaponize this virus.
Yeah.
In the lab where we have two of their people in custody, and we have the database of the whole lab.
Yep.
So he probably makes Mengele a pair in comparison in terms of bodies.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
guess what he's doing? He is using taxpayer funds against all sorts of federal laws to wipe off a lot of history and a lot of documents off any website he has control over.
Yeah.
Because what was happening is these websites and these documents were burying him.
Well, yeah, the truth was getting out.
Yeah, when you tied them together, his own stuff of his own agency was burying him.
Yeah.
And so what they're doing is they're just scrubbing everything off the website. And, you know, destroying a federal record is a problem.
Oh, yeah.
And so welcome to Dr. Mengele. And Wisconsin Sheriff drops bombshell investigation, proof of election fraud.
Yep.
He found a bunch of nursing homes where the relatives of the residents were complaining.
Yeah.
That people who didn't know what their own name was had voted.
Right, yeah.
Or people who never saw a ballot had voted.
Mm-hmm.
And it appears to be widespread across Wisconsin. Now, it's a common political practice, you know, to go to assisted livings and nursing homes. But you find people that have still got their act together,
mm-hmm.
and you get them to vote, because they obviously can't get out and go down to the polling place.
Right.
But to vote for people who never saw the ballot, or to vote for people who are just completely out of it and semi-conscious,
right,
is a crime in any state.
Yeah.
And this is went on in Wisconsin big time. And that's, you know, these people are trying to desperately make their changes permanent. You know, you talked about Virginia. What happened after Virginia? Did they go, oh, my God, we better change our policies, let's back off? Or did they double down and try and make everything permanent?
I think doubled down.
And they're trying to make everything permanent.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of what he did, you know, with executive orders can be overdone as quickly as he did them.
Right.
But a lot of this other stuff, no. And, you know, talk about inflation. It's all gas prices.
Yeah.
Or oil prices, you know, diesel fuel, gasoline, natural gas, heating oil, they run this country along with coal. We have very little nuclear left.
Right.
We have very little falling water. What is that? Hydroelectric. We have very little solar and waves and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and so when you up the price of energy, and he did it on purpose. And he knows exactly what he did. And now he claims he can't fix it. And he claims that it's OPEC's fault for not increasing production.
Right.
They're looking at us going, you shut off your own production. Your stupidity.
Yeah. Well, he stopped drilling rights and the Keystone Pipeline. I mean, these are
It was broader than that.
Yeah.
When you're in the oil business, unless you've got a well that's finished and you're not fracking it and it's all just pumping along, you need a permit all the time to make improvements to those wells to keep it flowing. And he shut all of that off across the country.
Yeah.
And so what now is happening now is they did this on purpose. And his own Secretary of Energy is laughing at the American public. I want to know, and I make an unfortunate prediction, that this winter there's going to be thousands of dead Americans freezing to death up north.
Yeah, it's unfortunate but true.
And, you know, and it's all his fault. He could have turned the spigot right back on and had us back to where Trump left him.
Yeah,
and he
absolutely
can't blame Trump, because when Trump left office, we weren't importing a pint of oil.
Right.
And we were exporting oil and getting ready to export a pile of natural gas, which is non-polluting. And here we better be concerned, because most of our power now comes from natural gas.
Right. Yeah.
And it's going up big time.
Yeah.
And that means everything else goes up, because it takes energy to produce stuff. It takes energy to move it.
Mm-hmm.
It takes energy to deliver it. It takes, a lot of it is made of energy. You know, how much of the stuff you buy now is all plastic.
Right. Which is petrochemical.
Hey, Doug, I have a question for you. And I know you're involved through the last 30 years in elections, and especially, you know, on election day and poll watching and everything. Oh, I know. What do we need to do in Florida to tighten up our election integrity here?
Well, the first thing we need to do in locally is the city of Naples election.
Hmm.
And that's not election integrity. That's a nonpartisan election where you've got one guy who's a pure Democrat who's running for reelection, and he gets to speak at organizations in the city of Naples, and other Republicans aren't allowed to speak or hand out materials.
Mm.
And we need to do, and by the way, our chairman has appointed me to be head of poll watching and election day operations and all this. You know, it's not election day anymore, you know, it's
right,
early voting and all that.
Yeah.
And we're already planning for that for August and November. And August is very important because that's school board. But we're also going to get into the city elections. We're going to use those. I'm not worried about election integrity in the city elections, but we're going to have poll watchers for the first time in history anyway. In fact, I caused them a little bit of trouble. They didn't know whether or not we could have them in a nonpartisan municipal election or not. They found out there was already a ruling from the state that, yes, we can.
Oh, good.
I'm using them for practice for August and November.
Great.
And then also, we've got to get out, and we are going to get out, a flyer and an absentee chase that says the only people in a nonpartisan election who can't say what party they are is the candidates. Even
right,
their spouses can say it.
Right.
And we can say it. And
right,
there is going to be flyers out. This guy, this is the actual party affiliation of everybody in this race.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you how bad this was. You haven't heard about this because they just didn't bring it before the city because they knew they didn't have the votes. We couldn't pass a pro-life resolution in the city of Naples because of the one or two real Democrats and the other Democrats, really not really Republicans, that are on that council.
Right.
I'm not talking about the mayor. I like Teresa. Teresa, when she ran for council originally, was the highest vote getter in the history of the city of Naples.
Wow.
Because, you know, they have an election with the top three or two, depending on how many are running that year.
Mm-hmm.
How many slots are open that year get the slots.
Right.
When she was first elected to council, she had the highest one there. And she also did away with what had become a joke.
Yeah.
You know, I used to kid a certain attorney who does land use planning around here. That was 50 or 60 variances on Fifth Avenue. It was 100 or 120 on Third Street.
Right.
And 200 for the beach club. Is going to be 300 next time?
Yeah, right.
And then one of the city council people who got defeated got on the radio and TV. In my whole time on city council, we only granted 6 variances. And everybody just laughing at their sleeve at him.
Yeah.
Because how stupid do you think the rich people are that are rich enough to live in Naples?
Exactly.
You idiot. You know, duh. You know, you could fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time.
Yep.
You know. And that's what caused the big swing last time. But unfortunately, in the midst of that and that one other vacancy we had because of unfortunate problems with that person's spouse in medical,
right,
we ended up with a couple of Democrats, essentially.
Yeah.
And we need to get rid of them. because in the whole time I was running things here, the worst we had was like one Democratic fire commissioner.
Right.
Now, unfortunately, that's not the case.
Yeah.
And we need to deal with that. We need to publicize that. And as soon as we get that flyer put together, I'll be on the show, you know, naming who's who and where's where.
Awesome.
And we'll definitely let them know, you know, if it's two Republicans or three Republicans, we're not going to choose between Republicans. That can get dicey.
Right.
But we can clearly say this person's a Democrat, this person's an independent, this person's a Republican.
Yeah.
And there's a thing they can do about it.
All right. So before my next question to you, Doug, I just want to let everyone know they can call in. We're at 430-CHAT. That's 239-430-2428. Are you following the school board at all?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the other thing. Talk about permanent. What did Hitler and Stalin say about if you convince the youth, you won the battle?
Right, yeah.
That's another way the Democrats are trying to make these changes permanent.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to dumb down the education system, tilt the education system, and we've got to do something. You know, in the past, we've tried to do this and, you know, get conservatives on the board, and we got most we could do is 2 out of 5, which is ridiculous for Collier County.
Yeah.
And what I don't understand, you know, we were actually 4 teachers. Where the real problem is that Taj Mahal over on Osceola Drive, that's where all the money goes.
Yeah.
We spend more money in Collier County than virtually any other school system per student in the entire damn country.
Yeah.
And there are 3 other school systems in Florida that are better than us, and they spend far less.
Yeah.
The money's not going to the teachers. It's going to the administrators and their perks and their the sweetheart deals they've cut with certain textbook suppliers and all that are supplying the wrong kind of textbooks between you and I.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to do something about that. And in the past, we got run over by PACs from limousine liberals or from the teachers union.
Yeah.
And I've got to ask the teachers union a question. Are you representing your teachers or are you representing those administrators?
Right.
Because those are the only people. I know a lot of multimillionaire teachers because they said thank you when mom and dad read their will, who quit teaching because they couldn't get a damn bookcase for their classroom.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, it's part of the transition. And, you know, we've had great resignation we talked about. And Doug, I want to ask you, give us your feelings on DeSantis.
Oh, he's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Okay.
You know, you brought up what I was going to bring up earlier about him sending those people to Delaware.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's trying to do everything he can. And I just wish my friend who's mayor of Jacksonville had the power to turn those planes around, but he doesn't.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, that's what this guy's doing. And, you know, we've still got the lowest COVID rates in the country, despite the fact that Biden is dumping a bunch of unvaccinated, untested people on us.
That's right. Yeah.
And, that's because we have herd immunity now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he tried to cut off those monoclonal antibodies to us, and DeSantis found another supplier and told him to go stick it.
Yeah.
You know, and we need more people like him. And a lot of people, you know, we're a little concerned about Trump. I wasn't, because when you're fighting somebody who's willing to do anything, subvert any law, to destroy you, you can't play by the Marcus of Queensberry bent pinky country club rules, or you'll get your tail run into the ground.
Yeah.
So some people were concerned that Trump is a little too, you know, in your face. Oh, too bad. Yeah, I'm a Naples person. You treat me right, I treat you right. You don't, and you better look out.
Well, Doug, I really appreciate you calling in. And, you know, we're about to hit the end of the show here. And thanks very much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
So, Joe, on the probably the last minute or so here, any thoughts?
Well, you know, keep your eye on what's going on. I still want everyone to prepare, and the grocery stores have had a lot of buy one, get ones on canned vegetables and everything, so stock up and get ready because the supply chain is still going to be problematic for several months ahead.
Yeah, and, you know, I have a kind of my bellwether is I'm a big fan of this drink called Gatorade Zero. I can't find it. I can't find it at Sam's Club. And in the past like 7 weeks, I think I saw it once and I stocked up. You know, I grabbed two cases. And so, and then, you know, some of them are like, are limiting like, you know, two things of chicken or, you know, 2 pounds of hamburger per customer. And, you know, so it is coming. You know, there is a, there is definitely a supply chain crisis. There's an inflation crisis. There's a worker shortage, and it's going to impact you. So now take your hurricane preparedness. Instead of 3 weeks, make it 3 months or something to that effect.
Exactly. Okay. But find that hamburger and find that steak.
And remember to keep the grill hot and the beer cold. Thanks, all.